All right, we're here live with, we're not live though, are we? Should I start one more time? Should I say live?
No.
Live!
We're here with two members of 11th Dream Day.
And I'm Rick Rizzo, guitar player, vocalist.
And I'm Baird Figge, guitar player.
And we're almost live.
Should we get an ID now? We can edit it out, man. Should we get an ID now?
Going into the ID at the very end.
Okay, sounds good. All right, start one more time. All right. Okay, we're down here with two members of the band 11th Dream Day, and you guys are?
I'm Rick Rizzo, guitar player, vocalist.
And I'm Baird Figge, guitar player.
Okay, and we just got you guys' new album entitled Beat, at the end of November, and let's see, that's your third record, third LP with one EP, is that right?
Almost. We have two full-length LPs and two EPs.
Okay.
And it's no sense going into which order they came in or anything.
Yeah.
Prairie School Freakout's the one that's an LP that you might know about at all.
Yeah, that one's gotten some play in the station here. That one's out on Amoeba Records, is that right?
Right, yeah. Tiny little Amoeba-like California label.
And did you guys switch to Atlantic for the EP or for this LP, the new LP?
For the LP.
For the LP?
Yeah. Actually, we had it, we recorded it sort of on an indie budget and with the, you know, the indie thing in mind. It was completely done. The cover was done. Everything was done. When Atlantic heard it, and they put out exactly what we gave them. Didn't make us remix it or anything.
Did they give you guys a contract? You can record some more for Atlantic, do you know?
At their option, of course.
Yeah, we've got a 7-record deal with each subsequent record their option.
Yeah, and our...
We have no options.
So. You know, and any kids that we have are under option, and they pick out my socks and underwear.
Is that a pretty standard deal for indie bands, like a long option contract like that?
Indie bands like us who weren't already, like, lighting the world on fire. I mean, I'm sure that if, name a big indie
Sonic
band,
Youth.
Like Sonic Youth, when they signed, I'm sure they pretty much... got to name, you know, what kind of potato chips they wanted to eat for the rest of their lives, you know. I don't know. I think it's a lot easier if you're already established. I mean, we played on the East Coast, Boston and New York, but they're not exactly a household word around the country, you know, in the swampland of New Orleans or anything. So we were lucky to get the deal, and, you know, I think any major label deal, you're sort of, you have to do certain things with their terms anyway. You know,
yeah.
They've got a lot of final says in matters.
Well, along the lines of that, do you guys want to talk about the new album any? You were saying that you all pretty much write the songs, split it up between you and write your own songs. You were talking about, talking with me earlier, Baird, you were talking about Bomb the Mars Hotel. You want to say anything about that? You said it was not exactly anti-Deadhead, just sort of about Deadheads,
well,
right?
It was. My feelings have changed drastically since I wrote that song.
We're not going to hold this against
don't
you.
Don't
whip out. No. They have. No, it was anti-Deadhead, but it wasn't violently anti-Deadhead. But Bomb the Mars Hotel, I guess it is violent, but
it's Chicago, metaphorical,
yes,
right?
But it's not. I don't know. It's more about the new wave of Deadheads. Even though I own one Grateful Dead record myself. That's the first one. It's, you know, I'm not an old Deadhead who now hates the new Deadheads. It was just becoming such a hip thing to be a Deadhead that it was mostly against that whole idea. And don't bump the table, by the way, for all you kids at home.
But you know, the thing that bothers me, and I didn't write the song, but I just don't think they're tie-dye. Is really good. They probably spend like $25 on these tie-dye T-shirts that are too brightly colored. They don't even, you know, they don't even look nice anymore.
You need blacks and oranges and dark colors. You need like the biker shirts.
Yeah, the biker Dead fans are good.
Yeah.
This record also was produced by Gary. Gary has a Walik.
Walik.
Yeah.
Walik is pretty simple.
He's cursed. He's cursed with one of those names that cannot be pronounced or spelled correctly.
and he's of course the dude from Big Dipper. And you guys were saying that he just sort of discovered you and asked if he could produce it or wanted to get involved or.
Yeah, he corresponded with us. He liked our record. He liked the way Prairie School Freakout sounded a lot. So when it came time to find somebody, and we did want someone else to come and do it this time, maybe just for their ideas, we knew that he wouldn't, like, go nuts, you know, doing some weird stuff that we didn't want and that we would be able to work with him. So it ended up working out really well because not only did he have good ideas and kept the production in the vein that we wanted, but he also does a pretty good job of psychological counseling. You know, we're a temperamental band, and he dealt with it very well. He's on an even keel.
Good deal. And you guys said it was pretty quick to record too. I mean, about how long did it take?
I think all told it was 4 days. It might have been 3, but we played a lot of wiffle ball in the parking lot and had some barbecues. So. It was pretty fast.
All right. Well, since we're talking about this album here, we're going to go ahead and listen to a track from it. This is the first song on the first side of the new album entitled Beat, and this song is called Between Here and There.
Sweet, second fuse there, dignified, whatever was.
And we're back with members of 11th Dream Day here.
Squeaking at you.
Squeaking around, and we're sort of rapping about new album, new tours, new underwear, things like that. And you guys are currently touring with the Meat Puppets. In fact, you got a show coming up at City Gardens in Trenton this Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, with you guys are opening up for the Meat Puppets, is that right?
Yeah.
Is this something you're doing for the whole tour?
Yeah, the whole tour is opening for the Meat Puppets, which is kind of fun. I mean, we went on a shorter Midwestern tour that we didn't open for somebody like that, and we got stuck playing. We headlined most of the shows, but we got stuck playing with a lot of really bad bands whose fog machines would go off while we were playing by mistake. And it wasn't that much fun. At least we know that they're pretty good, and actually liking their shows better as time goes on. They play like 2 hours, you know. So, like, one night I'll watch the beginning of their set, and then I'll watch the middle, and then it's I can't really, like, watch the whole thing. But it's fun being on the road with them. They're really nice guys and everything.
Now, are they on Atlantic, or did you guys just hook up?
They're on SST.
They're on SST.
They might be on something else.
Oh,
there's
really?
I'm sure their next record will be on a major.
Okay.
So...
they're driven by
some threats of legal problems for this last record.
But we don't really
know the details.
Yeah, fine. Well, what do you guys think about bands being snapped up by the major labels? Like we were talking about before, do you have any opinion on that? I mean, it could just happen to you guys, and you said you recorded your record as an indie band, so
yeah.
It doesn't seem to have affected you much, is it?
It hasn't, and well, I don't mind that there's being snapped up because. So far, it's turned out pretty well for us. I mean, on Amoeba, as much as we like them, there was not that much he could do for us because he just doesn't have the money to cover all bases. And Atlantic has the money to send the records out to radio stations and make sure you're in all the record chains and all that. Whereas that's impossible on a small indie, and some of them do a pretty good job. It's hard to tell which direction this is all taking. I mean, a lot of bands are signing. Hopefully, I mean, if it changes the face of commercial music or major label music, maybe that's for the best. I mean, I'm certainly hoping that it is. It's kind of a weird thing, you know, the way they use college stations to do their legwork for them. I mean, it's sort of like, I don't know, to me it's like college basketball, you know, where college basketball doesn't get, you know, those players don't get paid, but they're making the big money. It's sort of, maybe there's no parallel there, but because I just thought of that.
Well, it is a farm system.
Yeah.
Where they just pick out whoever they want, and then, I mean, they just wait and see who does well on college radio, and then they'll go for that. So, I don't know. It's a good deal.
So, well, we were also talking about touring. You guys said you just came out of Canada, and you're heading to Europe in a couple of weeks. Is that right?
See you later, Mounties, eh?
How did that go in general? Did you guys and the Meat Puppets get a pretty good reception overall? I mean,
they did. I mean, our record just came out there last week, so, you know, they were like... some of the WEA people up there are saying, oh, I wish you could have got the album out sooner. We would have really drummed up some interest for you. But the shows went well, and people after the show said, who are you? And, you know, we liked you a lot, you know. But, you know, it was our first time up there, so it was good. One show we sold, like, 20-some T-shirts for some reason, so
wow.
It must have gone okay.
In Toronto.
And you're also talking about problems with customs you guys had.
It could have been worse.
We ran into an anal border guy, who was...
He could have been a lot more anal, though.
Yeah. You know, you're going to have to wait a long time. And Baird said, why? Which was a mistake. And he goes, because you're a band. Yeah. No smoking.
I guess the last time the Meat Puppets were in Canada, they got strip searched. So
yeah.
It could have been a lot worse.
And this time the birds were... Gene Clark and Michael Clark are right in behind us, too.
Oh, no, a dinosaur tour. So Well, actually, now that I mentioned dinosaur in a different context, we got a lot of people who say you guys have dinosaur influences. Do you guys listen to Dinosaur Jr. at all? Is that really something you would count as a major influence, or is it just something you guys probably sound like? Yeah,
it's not an influence. I mean, I think everyone in the band liked their records. Well, you know.
But we've been together probably as long or...
Longer
than they have,
yeah.
So...
You know, if you're a guitar band, I mean, maybe you sort of get lumped in. You know, we play loud guitars, they play loud guitars. It's probably... Our hair's not nearly as long.
Plus, you guys are still together.
Yeah. Major
well,
difference.
I thought they got Don Fleming from the Velvet Monkeys.
Hey, maybe it's a hot news item.
News on the interview here about Dinosaur Jr. Okay, we're going to take another little break here and enjoy another track from the 11th Dream Day's new album, Beat. And this track is called Love to Hate to Love. Okay, we've just been listening to Love to Hate to Love, a song off 11th Dream Day's new record entitled Beat. And coincidentally, we are sitting here right now with two members of 11th Dream Day. You guys want to introduce yourselves again one more time for us?
Yeah, I'm Rick.
And I'm Baird.
Okay. And Love to Hate to Love's the fifth song on the second side of this record. It's out on Atlantic Records.
And when we say beat, it's the vegetable beat.
B-E-E-T.
To avoid any confusion, yeah.
Has there been a lot of confusion with the misspellings or anything? Has it not been a problem, really? I mean,
No, it's not been a problem, except for the one girl, disc jockey at some station, who thought the cover was a lava spew coming out of a volcano, when it's actually a beat.
A very large beat.
It looks like a beat. I don't know. What can I say?
If you've got the cassette or the CD cover,
it extends down
you see
to
the actual entire root of the beat.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is probably the first time I've ever seen cover art that didn't fit on an album but did fit on a tape or CD. Is that just the way it's shaped, or just guys did a lot smaller? Or?
Well, she did the one cover with each way in mind, so they chopped it off.
Oh, and you guys said it was not being released on vinyl in Canada at all?
Yeah, that's what they told us.
Is that Atlantic standard policy, or just...
I don't know. It seems to be more and more everyone's standard policy. There's so many stores now that don't even carry vinyl, and it's really sick, because I hate cassettes. I finally bought a CD player, because I found that Neil Young Japanese five-song thing on CD only, and... So I figure I had to get a CD player just to listen to it. But I'm a vinyl fan, so I'd hate to see it disappear.
Yeah. So would we. So you guys now, and I think you said 2 weeks, are getting ready to go to Europe. Have you?
Yeah.
How long is it going to be?
We finish this tour up in about a week and a half. We get to go home for a week, and then we're going to Europe right then at the end of.
Five and a half weeks.
And that'll be right after the show Sunday night at City Gardens with Meat Puppets.
You're quite right.
But about the European tour, I guess you guys have never been to Europe before. Have you been to on
Not
tour?
As a band.
Not as a band.
Janet and I went last year as our honeymoon. She has a different last name, but we are married.
So, did they tell you anything about what to expect? I mean, you said the record was just being released over there, so do you guys know what kind of venues you're going to be playing?
I think it's okay. I don't know. These two records, which you can't see in Radioland, Prairie School Freakout and our first one are licensed on New Rose, a French label, which is almost like a major label in France. They're very big. And we've always had like a pretty good base of people in Europe. Judging by the letters we get, anyway, it seems like we've always been more popular there than we were here. Maybe because it's smaller. I don't know. But a lot of support over there. So I think when we go, it'll be pretty good. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll be drinking a lot of Weiss beer, drowning our sorrows.
So you guys are going to Europe. Do you have any idea of which countries you're going to be in, or how many, or...
Well, the Third Reich tour, I think. It's
going to help reunify Germany?
Well, the booking agent we have is a German booking agent, and it seems to be about half the dates are in Germany.
Most of them. We're going to Yugoslavia, though.
Yeah.
So that's
really
cool.
Lubslana.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's...
Lubslana.
Something like that.
Who knows?
Something with a lot of consonants.
Yeah. So that should be cool. And Italy. They wouldn't let us go to Spain because they said they couldn't be sure that the promoters would give us the money once we played. I guess they could be kind of dishonest down there. So they just didn't recommend going there.
Are you guys hitting the UK at all?
The first and last shows.
Yeah.
Just
like
two shows?
Five shows.
No.
One to start and then like something like four at the end.
No.
I guess not. Barrett just talked to
I got a fax to tour itinerary. It looks like just the first and last, which is unfortunate.
That's okay.
Well, it'd be better if we had five at the end.
Whatever.
And so then you guys come back and get a well-deserved vacation, and then you're gonna start writing songs. Is that the general plan? I guess writing songs during vacation and getting ready to record. Do you guys have any plans for recording right now, like a studio, or is it not? Really?
Not till like July, and we don't even really want to think about it right now. I mean, right now we're just touring. It's like. Takes up a lot of time, and it's pretty hard work, especially a band like us, who this is our first go at it on a major label. They've got us doing a zillion interviews. We're just trying to do our best, and it doesn't leave much time for writing. So I told Janet that when we get home from touring, I'm just going to go somewhere for a week up to some cabin in some woods and you know, take a few bottles of Cuervo and just write. And that sounds stupid. But I really do.
It's earnest, Rick.
Yeah. I have to get away to be able to write it. My cat's bothering me.
And Gary Walk of Big Dipper produced his last album. Have you guys talked to him about producing any more? Are you going to try on producing it yourselves, or do you have any other plans, or have you just not thought about it?
We haven't thought about it too much. I mean, we liked Gary, and I think we all kind of agreed that Gary did a good job, and we didn't really take the time that some bands take to record, and he didn't really get a fair shot at, like, doing his magic, man. It'd be nice to work with him again with, maybe a couple more weeks to work with. But we'll see. I mean, it's a long way off. Who knows?
Okay, and we're going to hear another cut here from 11 Dream Days album Beat. And this one is called, you want to hear Bomb the Mars Hotel? Should we play that one? Or we could play Teenage Pin Queen. You guys have a request? Okay. All right, we'll go with Teenage Pin Queen there with the squeaking chair in the background from 11 Dream Days album Beat.
Go to hell.
Okay, and we're back now. That's you just heard Teenage Pin Queen from 11th Dream Day's record called Beat. It's out on Atlantic Records. And we're in the studios right now with two members of 11th Dream Day, Rick and Baird. And you guys are playing this Sunday night at City Gardens with Meat Puppets. And
we'll see you there.
Yeah.
Come up and introduce yourself.
All right, we thank you guys for coming down here with us and answering some inane questions, and hope to see you at the show, and good luck.
WPRB
in Princeton.
This is Rick from 11th Dream Day.
And also Baird.
And, hey, we'll be seeing you.
Whenever we're east of the Delaware River.
Yeah, hey.